Well, well, well.
We are back again.
It's been a crazy couple of weeks, girls.
It has.
Sable was down for the count.
Dude, I was very ill.
Yeah. I got COVID, then she got COVID.
Oh, my God.
She wants to be me so fucking bad.
That was the funniest thing, actually.
I sent you that text, and I was like, you are so fucking rude.
No, that was very funny. I sent Tynan a photo of my COVID rapid test for my government test, and it had the faintest line. And then he goes, you want to be me so bad?
You should go to jail.
And then I went to urgent care to get a PCR.
Yeah.
And they're like, you don't have COVID, but you do have this other respiratory infection.
Fuck.
So I was like, wait, how did this test lie?
Yeah.
And they're like, they're expired. So they're actually really not accurate. So I was like, the government lied again.
You know, I think I don't really believe in expiration dates, but
same.
When I took my first COVID test, when I had, you know, COVID round three, I think my first one was faulty. It told me I was positive, but not as like positive as I think I was because it was just like a fucked up line.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
False positives are pretty rare with COVID
tests.
Oh,
I mean, I was positive,
yeah.
But I think the test was just botched.
Oh.
It was like too old or something. But whatever. I certainly had it, so.
I took rapid and PCR after that, and they're both negative. So.
Fuck. Well.
But they were like, you have this other respiratory illness that we've tested for, because apparently you can just test for all of them now. And I looked it up because I'd never heard the name. It was like pseudometahuman virus. It was a really weird name.
Jesus.
This sounds fake. Literally yeah. fake. Well, they're like, this is a new burgeoning respiratory illness.
Oh, God damn it.
I was like, not another one.
Can we fucking live?
Yeah. And that took me down for the count.
Shout also, out to science.
What I didn't realize is that certain viruses, fun fact, of the RSV family will give you full body rashes, which I didn't realize until last week.
You can't win.
I cannot win.
I say that with so much compassion.
However, the true win of this all is that I think the reason I got really sick was because I did too many rounds of steroids, which weakens your immune system because it suppresses your immune response.
Okay.
But it did. I finally was like, okay, I have to do the steroids and the antibiotics for my sinuses because I fucking knew I had a sinus infection that for whatever reason, my ENT was like, it's allergies.
Uh-huh.
And I was right.
So can you smell now?
I can smell so much now.
Great.
I can smell everything.
That's great because we're crazy. Testing these mods out.
Yes. I was really afraid about that, getting sick after that because I was like, not again.
Yeah.
And then when I was recovering, I was like, my smell is coming back.
Oh, that's great.
Oh my God.
Nice.
Yeah. It was a sinus infection, ENT.
Have you like killed the beast?
For now.
Okay.
It's pre-allergy season, so I'm like, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
We gotta see what's gonna happen.
That's so funny.
I'm back in the smelling world.
Amazing. Yeah, I was on my way to this Boy Smells event.
Oh, how was that?
It was really good. Yeah, then she was like,
I didn't
COVID.
Realize Casey Musgraves was there.
She was there.
Fuck.
Yeah, being Casey Musgraves. Did you get the candle?
I did not get the candle.
Okay, I guess we're already off to the races. So this is a Boy Smells podcast, as we know. We love the brand. I have a very special place in my heart for the brand. Mm-hmm. But their candles, I think, their core candles are really lovely. I think they started with a certain perspective and have slowly started to branch out. I think they get really exciting with their seasonal candles and then their core. They're really heady, really Boy Smells, whatever. All that, what I'm trying to say is that this one, this new Casey Musgraves collaboration, which is their second collab with Casey, of course, is really something. And
really?
It's really different for them. It's crazy.
Okay.
It's saffron and raspberry, and it's brighter and sweeter than they really ever get. It's called Deeper Well, mm-hmm. which is her new album. And
that's interesting. I would not have thought that from all the visuals.
I know. I would think something like really green and earthy.
Yeah, like kind of mossy.
Exactly,
earthy.
Exactly. No, this is really juicy.
I hate when they lie to you with pictures.
Well, yes, yes. But I guess I went into that backwards. But yeah, Boy Smells is after their insane success with Slow Burn
yeah.
with Casey, which mm-hmm. was our first collaboration. They're doing a second one, which I think is very cool because Slow Burn came at a time where Casey Musgraves wasn't as huge as she is right now. And Boy Smells yeah. wasn't as...
She was like about to break through.
Exactly. And Boy Smells wasn't quite as mainstream as they are right now. And the collaboration, from what I understand, came together very organically.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's Boy Smells and Sephora. Yep. Casey won the Grammy and yep. is just the biggest thing. And they're doing it again, which they... I don't think either of them like need to do, you know?
Do
like,
a candle, do a perfume.
Well,
are they doing it?
I don't know anything, but... I don't know anything, but... There may be an EDP version floating around.
Oh.
Whether it comes out or not, I don't know.
Okay.
There's no plans to put it out.
Okay.
But
fair enough.
It's a really good candle. And one that I would tell people to blind buy because
really,
yeah, I smelled it.
I think Kara posted it and she said it was really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was one of those things where like I already liked anyway without smelling it. But when I did, I was like, oh shit, like this is quite good.
Yeah. I emailed the publicist the night of the event and I was like, I'm really sorry, but I'm under the weather, so I can't come. But if you have samples left over after the party, I would love one.
Yeah.
No response.
We'll get you one.
No response. That's fine. I have enough candles.
Yeah. I need this one though.
Literally the drawer under my bed is just full of candles. It's crazy.
It's funny. I've said the first 2.5 years of the show, I'm not a candle person. And so I stopped calling them in or accepting them. But then I started burning a lot of them. So now I'm like, wait, gotta retract that statement.
You got candled.
I know. I got candled. Yes. Anyway, so Kacey Musgraves, come on the show, please. We love you. Her new album's coming out in next week. Crazy.
Wow. I feel like she's done an album every other year. Or every year. Is it every year?
No, it's not every year.
Star-Crossed came out in 22.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe every 2 years then.
That's a healthy pop star circuit.
I think, like, it is.
You know.
Yeah.
Actually, let me look up when that came out.
I still think of her Architectural Digest tour of her home that she doesn't live in anymore.
Yeah.
But with those celebrities, I'm always like, aren't you afraid someone's going to see where you live?
It's a good way to... Oh, no. It came out 2021.
Oh.
Huh.
Okay, so end of 2021.
It is a good way to, like, scout the place, though. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, like, if I was trying to rob you...
Exactly.
Which I'm
if
not...
If I was trying to bling ring you, I know exactly where to go.
What am I going to steal from Kacey Musgraves? A guitar? Weed? Joe Malone fragrances?
Yeah.
No.
I do remember somebody had a screenshot... A part of that showed her vanity.
Yeah.
And there was Jo Malone scents. There was a Marissa Zappa scent. I think she had a bottle of Annabelle's birthday cake.
I think so too, yeah.
There were some other ones.
Byredo.
Byredo, of course. More celebrities should talk about their fragrances.
I agree. Like, there should be a top shelf for fragrance alone.
No one
alone.
Gives a shit about the lipstick you wear. Lipstick can be duped. Fragrance cannot.
Everyone cares about what lipsticks people wear, maybe. I think. But you're right.
Some people do.
It's different.
But not as many, I think.
There should be a top shelf for fragrance alone.
Agree.
You know what I also want?
What?
And I think someone... I've had this idea for a while, and it's not that original, but I think someone else is doing this. But I want a column about tattoos. Just think of...
Are there no tattoo publications?
Yeah, but I don't...
Not like a trade magazine.
Exactly. I think it'd be cooler if it was in The Cut or something.
Yeah, like a cultural tattoo. Yeah, something. That would be really cool.
What a great idea.
That's insane if that doesn't already exist in some way.
I think I just saw someone fucking do it. So I was at least like someone's doing it. It doesn't have to be me.
Yeah.
But
I'm constantly toying with the idea of a beauty zine, but I'm also just like, I'm lazy. Someone give me money to do this.
You should do a zine.
I know media is collapsing.
Truly.
And maybe now is the teachable moments. Uh-huh. Now the lessons are being lessened. Uh-huh. But okay, so let's figure out how we create a sustainable, thrivable media publication, please.
Yeah.
Someone tell me.
I hate to be that person, the doomsday woman, but media is fully collapsing under our feet. Really scary. I'm like, get out.
I guess it's just like startup culture-y where it's all about valuation.
Yeah.
And then you get overinvested and then maybe the investors, they all have a pull that they want you to do.
Yeah.
And you have to be profitable at all costs, including the jobs of your employees.
Right. But I feel like Substacks are cracking though right now.
They are, but now everyone's mad at Substack because apparently they platform Nazis. They're like, let's free speech, and everyone's canceled.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paying $5 to $10 for individual writers just is not a sustainable model. I'm sorry.
I also agree with that.
It's not.
And I'm happy to do it, but there are so many Substacks.
Not in a greater way. Yeah. That's a great way to support writers, not to build a media, I don't know, entity. But
sorry for bringing you into the spiral.
Yeah. I don't know. But that is something I think about a lot, actually.
Your Substack is great, though.
I need to update it more.
You're also putting out a book, which is very good, by the way.
Oh my God, you're reading it?
Yes, I'm reading the book that you gave me. Yes, I'm reading your book. What are you talking about? God.
I gave a copy to my boyfriend, of course. Yeah. And then I saw it on his nightstand. And then I peeked at the pages and there was a little bookmark a millimeter in. And I was like,
Transparently,
we've had this for 2 weeks.
I'm only about halfway through. Things have been a little nuts, but yes, it is. I'm not going to say too much about it. We'll talk a lot about it, but it is. I'm having a ball reading it. Speaking of you giving me something, I have something.
Oh, I love when things are for me positively. A live unboxing.
At time of publication, it is okay. March 9th. And this is the gift I got you for Christmas. Oh my. I just keep leaving it at home because it's small. Oh. But it's also very stupid.
I love stupid. This is so cute.
I hope you like it.
It is a... In my hands is a Susan Alexandra charm necklace with a croissant. Dude, I fucking love these findings.
The clasp is really good. The clasps, good.
They're like these really colorful enamel. Mm-hmm.
The clasp is like low-key the best part.
Agreed. It's the most unique part, but I love this. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Wow.
I was like, she's got to have this. I know that you're in your like orb entrepreneurship Dude, era, but yes. I thought like maybe a croissant would be cute.
Honestly, bring it on. Great. I'm in my accessory era.
That is true.
I'm about the accessories.
Love that.
I think it's an expressive thing you can wear that doesn't take up a lot of closet space. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's less expensive because they're going to be exposed, but oh my God, this is so cute.
I love our non-visual medium that we insist on doing visual things on.
Maybe we should just start doing the Instagram posts of a carousel of all the things we talk about in the episodes. And that would actually be informative for our listeners.
Oh, the size is good too. Thank God, I guess, because I know you like them short.
I need to go to her shop. It's like downtown somewhere?
Yeah, it's... I want to say Soho, but it's not.
Okay.
It is downtown, though.
I see a lot of people post, like, events. Like, little beating events there. And I'm always like, why am I not invited to
this? The shop's crazy. It's very overstimulus, but in a really cute way. Yeah. It is what every shop should be.
I can be overstimulated for, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, it's a small shop, so you'll be in and out in 10. Mm-hmm. But, yes.
Good Christmas in March.
Yeah. It's halfway to your birthday.
Yeah. It's my half birthday. I'm not gonna talk. I was like, should I talk about the perfume?
Maybe not. Because we're gonna give it its own.
We're gonna give it its own.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am wearing two of them though.
Okay. Yes. Tynan is helping me sort out my fragrance mods.
I'm just being a guinea pig.
Dude, I need all I can get because I'm only one person, so I only smell it on me, and it's gonna smell differently on other people, of course. Things do pull. Yeah. Canonic things pull very differently on us.
I was just talking about that. The dry down of this one is nice. The
cacao. Uh-huh. It is. Yeah, the dry down's really nice.
So I really like this. Yeah, the first two feel very much like you.
Okay, I'll tell my perfumer.
Okay. Sable, what do you smell like today?
So I remember when these were announced and I sent you the post.
Yeah.
And I was like, we need these. And then you were like, I will leave those to you and Kara.
Oh, true.
And I'm speaking of the new Donna Karan cashmere collection. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing Wild Fig. And it was unexpected. It's a very beautiful scent. I don't really get fig personally in the way that it's generally interpreted with fragrance.
Sure.
But it is a beautiful, bright, round, juicy, transparent fragrance.
I smelled on you, sorry. Pretty light, like you said.
It's very light. It is the cashmere collection, so that's to be expected.
Yeah, yeah.
Brand. Donna Karan builds it as a woody floral, head note of black pepper, heart note of wild fig and bamboo, and base note of cedarwood is what they call out. And I don't think it's very peppery on me. Mm-hmm. I think the fig and the bamboo give it that fruity, green, crisp freshness. And it has that kind of transparency, like musky, woody transparency. I almost would have thought sandalwood, so cedarwood is a wild card. Hmm. But these remind me of the Hermes Jardin scents.
Really?
In the sense that they're fresh, airy, transparent. And to me, they just smell like a wealthy woman in expensive linens at her summer house in the Hamptons.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. That's what these types of fragrances smell like to me. But
I'm surprised that it took them this long to do cashmere collection.
Same. Because cashmere mist fucking, has been around mist, that's for, an excellent question. When did cashmere?
These are just like such an iconic fragrance, just in fragrance and for Donna Karan. Such a tentpole in like the industry, I feel like. I mean, shout out to them for not doing so for so long, but
cashmere mist was a big deal.
Like, yeah. Yeah. It still is.
It still is.
What is it about the deodorant people love specifically?
I don't know. It launched in 1994.
Damn.
That's insane. That's literally 30 years ago. 20 years ago. Nope. 30 years ago.
Wow. Wow.
I can count. I can do math.
Yes.
But cashmere mist was one of my first grown-up fragrances. Yeah. I think my mom gave me a little bottle that was like one of those gift with purchases at the department store.
Yeah.
When I was... I think when I was like graduating high school, like around that age, like 17, 18, And I felt so sophisticated wearing my cashmere mist. It was like, it was so different from everything at the time because everything was like super juicy and gourmand and fruity. This was circa 2004, people. So I was like, oh, I'm such a sophisticated girl with my grown up, translucent, subtle, musky fragrance. Right. But yeah, these, I was sent two of them from the PR. Okay. They're very gatekeepy about it. I think they have very limited samples, but they were generous enough to send me two. So they sent me Wild Fig and Tunisian Neroli.
Okay.
Both of which I feel like are a whisper of what their name suggests. Huh. They're still very beautiful, but it's like very transparent and sheer. The bottles are gorgeous. They're this like really weighty, organic, blobby shape. And it's $150 for 100 mils.
They're huge bottles.
Yeah. Which I'm like, oh, okay, that's actually less than I thought it would be.
Totally.
But then I'm like, Donna Karan is like a department store brand.
Yeah.
They're not like the niche artisanal brands, but they're beautiful scents. And if you can't, if you don't want to drop like the, what, $300 for the Hermes Sur Le Jardin ones, I think these are like pretty good.
I would definitely wear that fig one for a day just to feel it out.
Yeah.
It's odd to me, not odd. I couldn't help but notice that Donna Karan 30 years later is re-putting out Cashmere Mist, which is, I realize it was like the early to mid 90s, but sort of Y2K vibes. I know this is very elevated, like one woman shit. But
this feels very now.
Yeah.
Whatever they've done with it is very now.
But, and I don't think this is a secret. I don't think I break any NDAs here, but Estee Lauder is doing that reissue of like all of those fragrances.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's like a shit ton of scents.
There seem to be a lot,
And if they have not announced this, then this is all speculation. But
I think it's out there because I do remember seeing it on social media.
Okay. But this coming in tandem with the reissue of all of these classic 90s Estee scents, I'm like,
they're reaching into the archives.
Like, what's going on?
And they're just like, nostalgia's in. What do we have?
When I look at the Estee ones, I'm sort of like, who is this for? Because these feel, Cashmere Mist, change of gears, does feel nostalgic and of the now, and this reissue is gorgeous. So I'm like, okay, this makes sense, and I think it'll do well for whoever it's for. I don't know who the Estee shit is for, and what I know about Estee is that they're such a navel-gazy company that I'm like, I think this is for you and not any sort of consumer.
I think that is a possibility. Yes.
I
don't even know what ones they're reissuing, but I also don't, I don't think Estee Lauder fragrances are really on my radar, ever.
No, I agree.
I'm trying to name one off the top of my head. I'm like, huh? Miracle? Well, no, that's not Calm.
No, I'm thinking of Calvin Klein. Wait.
Because I feel like the demographic that would be interested in that is dying.
Dying. That's like, I didn't want to say it, but I'm like, I think we missed the boat here. And it's, I don't know.
It would be interesting, actually, to reinterpret a classic scent for the now. Like, when I think of
Legacy Collection reissued. Okay.
Yeah, I guess that's what flankers do, technically.
Say that again?
I guess that's what flankers are for.
Yeah. No, I hear you, though. I wish I could find... Sorry, I'd like to be more prepared than this, but we are just excited and riffing because we haven't seen each other in a month. Mine is dinner on Wednesday. Yeah, anyway, I think we're of the same mind right now that it feels a little late and a little specific, you know?
It kind of feels like one of those... You know when brands do like a 20-year anniversary coffee table book,
right,
like an art book? It feels like that.
I'm not saying it's not cool. I don't think we need all of them.
I don't, maybe not all of them.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple. I don't know. It is funny to me that I feel like every time Estee Lauder has tried to do a diffusion brand, they flop immediately.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Okay. Estee Lauder Legacy Collection.
Mm-hmm.
We have Azure Legacy. I'm probably not saying that. White Linen.
Okay. That I remember.
Reminds me of my grandmother, I think. Yeah. Knowing. Knowing. Oh, what a scary name.
Knowing?
Knowing.
What the hell? What are you wearing?
Knowing.
Knowing. So maybe there are not as many as I thought.
Hmm.
Azure Private Collection, White Linen, Knowing, and Estee. Huh.
Well.
I guess White Linen I would put up next to Cashmere Mist.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That makes sense.
Love textiles.
We love textures of materials. Yeah, I'd love to smell the other two, but... We'll see if I'm worthy of them being sent to me.
Ask them again in a month when no one's.
Yeah,
no one
cares. I will. I'm like, hey, do people still care about this kind of
thing? Right, like, since you got all your coverage, can you send me the rest, please?
I did pitch it out. We'll see.
Yeah.
But Tynan, what do you smell like today?
So you were sick.
I was sick.
We got invited to a dinner 2 weeks ago by Diaz and Durga.
Oh, yes, that
at Nine Orchard to celebrate the launch of their new fragrance that I am wearing today called Black Magenta. I was like, what is this called?
Their PR sent me a comp of that like a while ago.
Oh, did they?
And I don't know if it's the same as what is actually like, you know, the released scent.
Really?
Because sometimes they're different.
When you say a while ago, what do you mean? Like how long?
I want like several weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sure it's the same. They had to lock that for...
Okay.
Yeah. And
so I have smelled it.
Yeah. We love Dias & Durga on this podcast. I know I rib them sometimes because they're freewheeling with their marketing, or if that's what you want to call it. But I really, collection-wise, I think they're really spot. I think they're doing something unique and different. And even the scents that aren't for me are very good. Not a shock. Black Magenta is a really special fragrance. It is so good.
I'm honestly surprised that you like it as much as you do.
Why?
I don't know. I think because I just, when I smelled it, I was like, oh, this is a really fruit. It's weird because it smells like lipstick to me.
To what?
I get like a fruity, floral, powdery iris.
There's iris in it.
Yeah. That's what I get. Well, with a little bit of smoky something.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So yeah. I got to the event and smelled it from the atomizer, and it smelled off rip a lot like biretal pulp.
Oh.
But that was just in the atomizer, which obviously is not fair. And then I smelled it on Kavi. Like, she sprayed a ton of it on the top of her hand, and I smelled it, and it was like really fruity. And then I finally wore it, and I've been wearing it for the last couple of days. And my God, this is a really juicy, warm, caramelized pineapple scent.
Ooh.
And it is so good. It is a really warm, juicy pineapple. It's as warm as you could take a fruit without taking away the sweetness or making it too syrupy.
Okay.
It's really fucking good. And it's I think it's an outlier in their collection for sure.
Because it is definitely a lot different than the rest of their collection.
Because they didn't really do gourmands until pistachio. And then Deep Dark Vanilla.
Yeah.
And
Deep Dark Vanilla to me is not a gourmand in practice.
Dark Vanilla to me is unfortunately just boring.
It's not very vanilla-y.
Yeah.
It's quite dark and deep, but it's not very vanilla-y.
See, I think the exact opposite. I think it's vanilla-y. I don't think it's deep or dark. I just think it's vanilla, which is fine.
Okay.
Did I screenshot the wrong fucking part of this website? God damn it. Sorry, I was trying to read the notes. So the build of the scent, because I do think it's helpful to me. The top is pink pineapple, galbanum, black pepper. The heart is orris, which is iris. Just magenta. Oh. Get it together. And dianthus and orange flower. And then the base is black amber, tobacco, and sandalwood. Mm. So I think...
it's for the girls.
For the girls. What you get is pineapple, iris, amber, and tobacco. It's just really good, and I don't know, it does feel pretty unique, which Dias & Durga is pretty good at landing. And I am having such a good time wearing it. It's fantastic, and I think people are really gonna go crazy for this.
It smells, you're right, to me I was like, whoa, this is an outlier. If only because it smells like Dias & Durga trying to do like a mainstream for the girls scent.
You think?
Which, but they would do it in their own quirky way, which they have. And like the inspo is that like, it's like a night out in New York City.
Yeah, a neon night out.
It's a neon night out. Like, I picture going to several places with your girls. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of the night, everyone's voice is hoarse from shouting.
Yeah.
And there's like cigarette smoke in your hair. Yep. And then there's like beer spilled on your leather jacket. Mm-hmm. That's the vibe I get.
Yeah. Kavi.
It's very indie sleaze.
Right. Very that. Kavi, describes it as a little classy, a little trashy, which I think is like, okay. But yeah, I mean,
what do you mean?
I think it's a real people pleaser, I think. I'm not sure it's for everyone if you don't like anything sweet or fruity, because it is unapologetically sweet, but not cloying to me.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I like girlhood as a spectrum, and I like things on the sweetest side of the sweet spectrum. Yeah. But yeah, man, I don't know. I'm happy to see them doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I remember like a few months ago going to their studio in the Brooklyn Navy Yards.
Yeah, and I remember not being invited to that.
It's just, I forget why. Maybe it was just like a press thing, come to the studio, yeah, and they talk about what they've been working on.
It wasn't that collab that they did a while back, right? That was supposed to be in Midtown at Rockefeller Center.
Oh, then, yeah. No, it wasn't that. Okay. It wasn't that. And David said he was working, he was like showing me a bunch of mods in his studio. And then he's like, yeah, I really want to make, I'm working on this scent that's just like the color purple. And I wanted to make it like really smell like purple. So I wonder if this is it. Because this kind of, it's called Black Magenta.
Yeah, true. So. Or I wonder if that was, it's probably not two different things, but I wonder if that was a Halloween scent.
I don't think so.
You
I
said that smelled like a candy necklace,
that
right?
One smelled like candy necklaces.
Oh, yeah. I want that so bad.
Yeah. The Salem one.
Yes.
But that was also, he was telling me that he was working on a peanut scent at the time.
Right.
And then a couple of months later, peanut was their next studio juice.
Yeah. So I think they'll make that permanent in a year.
It is a good scent. And yeah, it's not, I think if you don't know it's peanut, you're not like, oh my God, I smell like a peanut. It's just like a very kind of like dry, it's like a dry woody musk. That's really nice. But it's a soft musk.
I remember being like really, I don't want to say patchouli, but like really earthy, really dark.
Yes, it's very earthy. I don't know. I really like it.
It kind of made me panic.
Really?
Yes.
I think also peanut is very polarizing. It's also like one of the most widely known food allergies. So maybe that's why people.
Also that. But I mean, polarizing goes both ways. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, well, also.
I'm sure there are some people who love it.
Not to say the obvious, but just with the success of pistachio, I'm surprised that people didn't just clip that one up. You know?
I too am surprised.
It's also just such a cute name.
It is a cute name. Peanut.
Well, get it together.
Guys, go get a peanut.
It's good.
Go get the peanut.
Yeah, and it's you're good. Right. I don't think if you told people.
Yeah. No,
that
no.
It was peanut.
It's not overwhelmingly like peanut butter smelling.
No. Because that's what I was afraid of.
I think also that's what a lot of people might think.
Sure.
And they're like, well, I don't want to smell like that.
Yeah, fair.
You will not smell like peanut butter. I promise you.
Right.
It's just a very dry, rich, earthy, pulpy wood.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway. One of the fragrance events have I missed because I was sick.
I want to talk to you about something else that we're going to find a little polarizing.
What?
The Kylie scent.
Yes.
Because you got it and immediately talked shit about it. And I got it and posted on my story and people were very interested in it.
I got a lot of people saying, the people who in the beauty sphere who had also received it were like, I like it. And I'm like, of course you would. But it smells. First of all, okay, number one, the Kylie Jenner is this her first fragrance?
Yes.
Okay.
She has done collabs with KKW Fragrance, RIP. Right. But
so her first fragrance under her namesake, it's called Cosmic. I am honestly surprised they didn't spell Cosmic with a K, but good for them.
I don't think they could get away with that.
Really?
Yeah. Just I think they're like trying to pull away from like.
The bottle is great. It's this kind of blobby glass. The cap, I feel they could have been a little bit more original with, given the budget they probably had. Mm-hmm. It's just like a rose gold orb. Normally I love orbs, but I'm like, this isn't your place. You don't.
You love the bottle and I get it. I'm almost, it feels a little like I said. What did I say?
What did you say?
It feels a little, not Estee Lauder. Who's the other one? It feels a little Lancôme to me.
Really?
Not in a good or bad way. It's elegant and really elevated. It doesn't feel like, it feels like a woman fragrance, not a.
It's a unique bottle.
Yeah.
I think.
It feels really good in the hand.
Yes, it does. It feels great in the hand. It's very weighty. Feels nice. The scent inside is, you have smelled this a million times before. If they could have white labeled this shit, they may have. I have no idea.
No, they interviewed their perfumer. The spot was actually pretty good with the perfumer. Someone from, I believe, Firmenich.
Okay, so it is a sweet, warm floral. Mm-hmm. That much I agree with. They call out star jasmine, blood orange, golden amber accord, red peony accord, vanilla musk accord, and cedarwood, which I feel like that is like the classic build of this new girl smell. That's just these warm, spicy florals.
Spicy floral, yeah.
Warm floral or spicy floral. That's what you get. I think this is a warm floral. I wouldn't say it's spicy.
There's
a little bit of an amberiness to it.
It's a ton of amberiness to it.
Yeah.
The reason why I would say spicy over warm is because when you say warm floral, I think more floral forward. This is definitely heavy on the floral, but it is also so vanilla and so amber that it's
like a floral gourmand, honestly.
Sure.
I would more accurately say it's a floral gourmand.
Okay.
But it's like the very Molly kind of girl scent.
Well, we both said.
Yeah. It's like the Venn diagram of YSL Libra, Victor and Rolf Good Fortune, who is the other one? Prada Paradox. Yeah. It's just like all of them thrown into the cauldron.
It is extremely Libra. So yeah. When I read the PR for this, I thought that I was so close to interviewing Kylie for this. I could really? Fucking taste it. Yes. I want to die. I'll tell you later.
Did she do any interviews for this?
She did a bunch, actually, which okay. she doesn't. She hates yeah. her press. When I read the press for this, I thought this would go one of two ways. Mm-hmm. I thought it would go... And because they called out the notes and I was like, oh, this is going to be Libra. This is going to be exactly what this is. I thought it was going to do exactly this mm-hmm. or go really left and be not weird. This is mass. They want this to sell. But I thought it was going to be a little staticier and kookier mm-hmm. with the musks and the name Cosmic. And they yeah. said like a skin-like, blah, blah, blah. There's nothing skin-like
There's
about
nothing
this.
There's nothing skin-like about this.
Which is fine. But
yeah, maybe in 2 hours.
Yeah, when I smelled this, it went the Libra way. This is a gorgeous fragrance.
Yeah.
But like you said.
You've smelled it.
Yeah. But again, I mean.
It's $78 for 100 milliliters.
It's really affordable.
It's
yeah.
very affordable.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess I was a little surprised at that given I know they like definitely made a custom mold for the bottle.
Yeah. But she's good about keeping yeah. her prices down.
How much is her makeup?
Really affordable.
Okay, really affordable. Yeah. So
it's
okay.
not even prestige.
Yeah. Because like the KKW fragrances were also like not super expensive. They were like under 100, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. They know their audience, man.
If I had never smelled any fragrance before, I'd be obsessed with this.
Yeah.
And I do it's going to be a people pleaser.
I think for even younger people who maybe don't have access to the world of fragrance, mm-hmm. if they're looking for like a flirty sexy fragrance, this is a great entry.
Yeah.
I think.
What I will say about this, in saying that it is same,
mm-hmm.
the thing that is different to me, and only just, than a Libra or a Flower Bomb or any of that is when I put it on, I was surprised in the first hour of wear how musky I found it. Because it is very sweet,
yes,
very
you're right.
floral, like very honeyed amber, but it was
there is
really
a lot of musk.
Yeah, it was really amplified yeah. by the musk in a way that I don't like musk, but I didn't mind. I was like, okay, mm-hmm. this is interesting. Yeah. Like, it's a different way to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Then I wore this the night of the fragrance foundation dinner and I butt chugged it. But I was laying in bed that night and so I was wearing a lot of it. But I was surprised by how well it clung to the skin. I did reapply. Halfway,
this like, one strikes me as a clinger.
It's a clinger.
Yeah.
And the warm sweetness really clung to me in a way that I really liked, but was in no way unique. So I think they nailed the wear.
They did. I feel like this is one of those scents that you wear it and then your college boyfriend is just, you smell so good. And then forever you're like, I have to wear this forever.
Totally.
I was that girl once.
I'm that girl now.
But am I? I don't know.
Yeah. So it's what we thought, but it's good. It's going to go crazy.
It's crush.
Yeah. Crush bait.
This is crush bait.
Yeah.
For the boys.
For the boys.
Just kidding.
Talk to me about this being Frenchy fragrance.
Oh, yeah.
You love this brand, which is so random to me.
I
like this brand.
I like this brand.
Like this brand.
I enjoy this yeah. brand. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So being Frenchy, the Ashley Tisdale body care wellness brand launched a new scent, Palo Santo. Well, name or I'm just telling it. Palo Santo Sage is mm-hmm. the new scent. And the press, I didn't go to the event because it was at 9 in the morning on the Upper East Side and I simply cannot be there.
Where was it?
Sage and Sound, I think.
Okay.
It's like a meditation-y, wellness-y place.
Flop.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm not going to get my ass through Midtown to meditate. I'll
right.
do that at home.
Yeah.
But they did send me then kind of like the whole line in this new scent, which
okay.
I'm like, oh my God, I have so much body lotion.
Did they send you? Oh. Did they send you more fragrances?
They sent the there's like a linen and hair body spray,
oh.
like the body splash.
Sure.
And the oil. So if you want one, take
okay.
it. But I was surprised that they have now done Eau de Parfums of all the, not all of their scents, I think just three of them.
Okay.
The Palo Santo Sage scent comes in Eau de Parfum, the Cashmere Vanilla, which is my favorite.
Oh, I want that.
And the Lavender Cloud one. Maybe they thought those were their most popular scents, so
sure.
they'd give it a go. It's nice.
It is nice.
I don't know. I have to look up how much this costs, but it almost smelled like an Aesop or Lalabo
reminds
vibe.
Me, obviously, it reminds me of the Palo Santo Byredo because it's Palo Santo, but think things like Palo Santo to a mass audience who may not be that literate with the note, myself included in that,
yeah.
can be a little intimidating, but this is really beautiful.
It's really beautiful. It's not very Palo Santo-y
really?
In the literal sense
yeah.
to me. I think it's very fresh and green to me, honestly.
The first thing I got is the eucalyptus. Yeah. I think it's more eucalyptus than it is Palo Santo. I was like, oh my God, Equinox.
Equinox. It honestly reminds me of the perfumes in the 90s that featured green tea, like Prescriptive Calyx. I think there was like an Elizabeth Arden green tea scent.
I think so too.
But they always smelled like this sweet, almost like citrusy green. Like, it doesn't actually smell like green tea to me, but it was like the fragrant interpretation of green tea that was this sweet, citrusy freshness. Mm-hmm. How much? Please just tell me the price. Don't make me go through this whole thing.
That website's fucking hard to use.
It is.
Is it also like a lifestyle editorial platform?
Yes. Frenchie, I believe, was Ashley Tisdale's lifestyle blog.
Okay.
And being Frenchie is just the brands from it.
Okay. So. It seems to be doing well, question mark.
I think it's quite popular.
Great.
Yeah, because the scents are always sold out.
Huh.
Apparently.
Word.
Because I remember when we first talked about them, mm-hmm. when they first launched, and a lot of listeners DM'd me and they were like, oh, I went to Target to try and find the cashmere vanilla thing you were talking about, and it's all sold out.
Wow.
I was like, damn.
And this question in the most respectful way possible. Do you think, I was going to ask, do you think it's sold out because of Ashley Tisdale or because of it's affordable and good? I think I may already know the answer to that, but
I think more the second thing, honestly.
Because I think she's done a good job of not attaching this to herself. And also, very respectfully, if she did attach it to herself, I don't know that people would care.
I don't know if they would either.
Sorry, I can't say
that. I feel like she might be one of those kind of influencer types, also because she is an actress that has a very robust fan base that I'm not part of that bubble. I'm not aware of it.
That's true. She was also Disney, and you know how those girls get.
Exactly. So part of me is like, she could be the next Mormon influencer. Who knows? I don't know if she's Mormon. I'm just saying that's the vibe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But she definitely has this Stanley Cup.
It's $29.99.
Easy. So for that EDP?
Yeah.
I'd put this on, but I'm already wearing 80 fragrances.
I know. What? Like, how much is it? Okay. 50 mls.
Yeah, easy.
2 ounces. Sorry, 60 mls. Oh, great. So even a little bit more than standard. Yeah. Very affordable. And it's a nice scent.
Sidebar, that you know what? This cacao mod makes me smell, or smells like Mumbai Noise from Byredo, that fragrance that haunts me for no reason. Yeah.
Mumbai Noise smells crazy to me.
Because it smells crazy.
Yeah.
This doesn't smell crazy like that. Mm-hmm. It smells lighter, but it gives me that. I'm wearing two of Sable's fragrance mods, which we are not talking about today, but we will talk about later.
Yeah. It's that's really interesting to hear that it smells like that on you. Yeah. Anyway.
Our fave Kaoli has a new fragrance that Sable and I have both worn. It's funny that you're not impassioned about it because I smelled it and the first person I thought of was you.
I don't know, man. I read the back of the bottle because now they have all the notes on them. It said like rum, saffron. And I immediately was like, psh, get this on me.
Yeah.
And then I sprayed it on. I was like, why? I just got burning rubber, like tire tread.
It has this, it is so rummy to the point of being medicinal. And I think that's what me personally gave me that like tanginess that I was, what is going on here? And after half an hour, it dries down to be a really beautiful, smoky, leathery situation, oody situation, of course. Did we say the name of it?
Smoky Oud.
Smoky Oud. Yeah, it's really nice. But at the beginning, I was like, what are we dealing with here?
Yeah.
Burnt rubber is a good way to put it.
Burnt rubber, or there's it had a plasticky quality to it. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I sprayed it on my arm, and then I was like, because Kaoli scents are like very strong.
Mm-hmm.
After a little while, I was like, okay, this is choking me out.
Yeah.
So I didn't let it dry down, but I want to try wearing it again and actually let it dry down.
Yeah.
To get like the full experience. So we'll see. I'm not giving up on it yet.
Yeah.
But from first rip, I was like, whoa.
The Oud collection is.
I love the Oud collection.
Yeah, I don't. It's just not.
You like the tobacco one.
I like the other shit better. I do the tobacco one. Yeah, like I like it.
And the vanilla one.
I like the vanilla one too. I don't love the coffee one as much as I thought I was going to.
Same. I thought I would really, really like that one. And I was like, this is fine.
Do you think, question for the culture, do you think that the Kaoli Oud collection is in part a way to bring in a more masculine audience?
Oh, I wonder. Could be.
Kaoli like is for the girls, but I think, and not to whatever, you know how I feel about gendering fragrances, yada yada, but
the marketing.
Yeah.
I feel like skews feminine.
Totally. And
I suppose that men could be a bit maybe
turned off to it.
Yeah.
But I think The Oud collection leans very heavily masculine, especially Smokey Oud.
What about her like wedding duo? That one felt quite
Mona.
Yeah.
Bring that shit back.
Wait, it's not there anymore?
It's limited edition.
Fuck.
That damn, wedding collection that was so goddamn good.
Man.
Especially the bride one.
I want
the girl.
Oh, the girl.
God, I love that sign. But yeah, I wonder if, because the bottles are black, the branding is still pretty monoform. The cap is still a jewel. I don't fucking know. But I do wonder if they're trying to like sort of expand.
Perhaps. Broaden the palette.
Uh-huh.
Why not?
They are popping off though, so.
They're popping off. I don't know. I'm tempted to be like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But at the same time, from a creative perspective, I'm just like, spread your wings, fly.
Well, I also get why they did an Oud
yeah.
collection anyway. Of course. Like men.
I wonder why they staggered the Smokey Oud. And I wonder if there will be more one-offs in
it
the
It sort
Oud
of
collection.
Gives me that it wasn't ready in time for the launch. Because yeah, it is.
Wouldn't they have just delayed it then? Because it's not that far off.
That's what I mean. It yeah. feels too close to the launch to yeah. be its like own release, which mm-hmm. it is. But I'm sort of like, it feels like it was like in production, but like they couldn't get the saffron or something. So they're just like, fine, here it is. Could be wrong.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
What other things can you Oud? They've got vanilla. You can Oud anything. They've got rose. They've got tobacco, coffee, now smoky. Which is not really a material so much as it is an idea, but like what else can we Oud?
You know what I would really like, and it's too close to what they've already got. I would love a honey Oud.
Oh shit, that would be good.
You know,
dang.
And also, which they did with a smoky Oud, and I wish they hadn't, but I would love a saffron Oud.
I would fucking love a saffron Oud.
Saffron is so high up in the ingredient list that I think that this scratches that itch. But yeah. that would be really nice.
Yeah, I may have talked about this earlier on our episode, but the new Memo Paris Cappadocia fragrance is saffron forward.
Oh, I think you did.
I think I did too. Yeah. But that one is
creamy, right?
It's so creamy. It's like the most literal saffron fragrance. And to me, I'm just like, that one could probably use like a little darkening with
Okay.
Or, yeah. Just like dirtying it up a little bit.
Sure.
It's like, part of me is like, what if I wear them together? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll suffocate.
Right. Did you have not gotten the By Rosie Jane fragrance then, right?
No. What's it called? Missy?
Like maybe I'm wrong.
An actual pool?
I don't know. Pool water, sex on the beach. I just looked at it today. I didn't think I was interested in it, but then I saw the notes and there's pineapples, so you may need to...
Did they send it to you?
I haven't asked for it. They probably will because they tried to get me to go to that event. But
yeah. Oh, okay. I wanted to mention this on the podcast because I want to know if anyone else agrees with me, and you will because I'm right. So Finery sent me the rest of their full collection.
Oh, cool.
They sent me a couple of the comps, and then they sent me the full sizes of the ones I liked.
Now they're never going to send you anything ever again, because they know what you're about to say.
If anything, this will give them more business.
Okay. Wait, can we have them on?
Is it a person? Are they a shell company?
Who even does our PR?
Scene. Yeah, but they give me shell company vibes, which is fine.
Sure.
Whatever. They're lovely made.
Affordable.
Affordable fragrances. We love this. However, when they sent me the three ones... No, when they sent me the one that I... wanted to smell, but it broke in the original mailer, the new rouge, because they said that was the saffron forward scent. I was like, damn, I really want to smell this because I was impressed with the other one. So I was like, okay, this one's got to be good. Mm-hmm. And I got it. It is, fortunately for some, not necessarily neutrally for others, a pretty unabashed dupe of Baccarat Rouge.
The saffron one is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I was surprised at, like.
Wait, do you have it anywhere?
Yeah.
I knew it was in the house.
Yeah.
So this smells like Baccarat, you said.
Yeah.
Okay. You also said that there were two other dupes, right?
Well, once I smelled this and I was like, oh, okay, this is your version. You're going to try and get this to go viral on TikTok for being a dupe of Baccarat Rouge because, you know, everybody's obsessed with that. Even though part of me is, I think we've moved on. I think we're moving on from that now.
I think we moved on, yeah.
I feel like we have. Okay, tell me your thoughts. Live smelling.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those bastards.
Yeah. It's pretty shameless. Uh-huh.
On skin, does it smell that way?
A bit in a slightly more thinner way.
I fucking see you.
Yeah, but it is unabashed. It is
and
shameless.
It's Baccarat. It's not cloud. It's Baccarat.
It's not cloud. It is Baccarat it's Rouge. Crunchy. 59. I don't know. But
wow.
Yeah.
Shameless.
And then I was like, why do the other ones also smell slightly familiar to me? Like, why am I drawn to them? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh my God, I figured it out. There's another scent of theirs called Without a Trace. That's their Neroli skin scent.
That's a great name.
Smells exactly like Missing Person, Fleur.
Oh, missing person without a trace. Come yep. on. Yep.
And then Mysterious Nomad, which I think was my favorite of the bunch. Black pepper hinoki. Smells exactly like Byredo Gypsy Water. So I was like,
okay. The names.
Yeah. Mysterious Nomad, Gypsy Water.
I'm I was fucking like, holding the new Rouge, yeah. Baccarat Rouge. I'm so stupid.
Yeah. It's, I was like, you guys really. This,
they got a lot of gall.
On the one hand, I'm like, they're good scents. And that's why I thought they were good scents, because they were scents that I thought were good before.
I'm not mad at them duping.
No, I'm not mad at them.
And putting them in Target. I let them have it. But the names.
I'm glad that they're not marketing it as a dupe.
That's what I said.
I am glad that they took an original take on it, because many fragrances smell the same. As we've said, every fucking girl fragrance smells the same. Everything is a floral amber today. But I was like smelling the new Rouge, it being a near exact dupe of Baccarat Rouge, I was like, aha! And then the light bulb went off and I was like, that's why I love the other ones, because they smell like scents that I do like before.
They're crazy for that name.
I know they are crazy for that name. Because I also remember smelling, what was it called? It was one of the pink scents that was a rose forward scent. I think it was called Madame.
Yeah, yeah.
And that I was like, oh, this reminds me of the Fenty Parfum. Because it has that kind of dirty rose, that like very strong dirty rose. So I was like, I've had the dots have been connected. Yep. The patterns have been patterned.
Yep.
That is crazy, but cool for them, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool for everybody.
Cool for everyone. Are these, I would love it if these were all in store, like all in Target. I wonder if they are.
I think they are.
Okay.
Yeah, they are in store, I think. But every Target stocks different things. Who knows? But
so this is cool. On the finery carton, they have scent experience when in the new Rouge is an opulent, lavish fantasy. Okay. It smells like golden saffron, amber, resin, sandalwood. That's cool. Mm-hmm. A nice little note.
Yeah. I like that it's quite simple.
Yeah.
Now that I know that they're very much so dupes. You can't, it's like hard to accuse somebody of like copying their homework, because they're like, we just did what was in style. But
yeah, it's also hard to accuse someone of duping when they're like the 35th person in five years to do it. Yeah. That's like this is what we're doing now. Speaking of dupes, I don't know why, they clearly don't listen to this show. Dossier, the dupe factory, invited me to a dinner.
They also invited me to that. I forgot about it.
I can't even go to this in good conscience. Like, one, I don't believe you do.
I'll have a free meal. I don't care.
We've talked so much shit about them. What are we going to go to the dinner for?
For food. To get fed. Feed
okay.
us.
Okay.
Feed us and tell me your secrets.
I'm not going. No. Are you going?
I'll go.
You have a lot of balls, girl.
What? I don't care. We are allowed to be critical.
I know that. I know that.
And but if they want to feed us about it, I'm okay with that. Yeah, I don't think you have to be supportive just to go to an event of theirs.
I know, but
like, I also want to talk to the people who work there and be like, what's the deal?
I'm not interested in their original scents, because they did I think this now we're doing a house collection of like original scents. I'm like, I don't think anyone cares when you built your entire brand off knocking other people's shit off. Like, what do you have to say?
Model. Really, you know? Weird business model.
Yeah, right? I'm like, I don't think that this is why people care about
you. I don't know. But this all makes me think about Arbel Sicardi's Substack article about dupe culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arbel Sicardi has an amazing Substack. It's called You've Got Lipstick on Your Chin. And they just have the most unique takes. And they have such like a vast historical knowledge about the beauty industry and beauty culture
that
they
can tie. Encyclopedic knowledge.
Yeah. They can tie everything together and just. The whole, their article about dupe culture when it comes to fragrance and beauty is just, it's literally as if you're like asking someone to paint the Mona Lisa and you're like, but use cheaper materials and it'll look exactly, if not very similar enough where it can be enjoyed. And no one would do that. Why are we celebrating copying a perfumer's art?
Arbel Sicardi is the fucking god. There is no... Why are any of us writing beauty when they're in the game? Like, truly, I cannot overstate it. We gotta get him on the show.
I know. Every time I read anything they write, I'm like, my mind is blown and I'm like bummed out.
I know.
But I'm also like, I'm really glad I know this.
I don't even think...
And it colors the way I think about beauty.
Oh my god.
Just more broadly.
And always. Yes, like, remember when they... wrote the the Lime Crime piece for Racked.
Yeah,
like back in that day.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Wild.
Arbel, come on the show. I don't feel like I'm worthy to talk to them.
I feel like they would probably they probably
came. They came to that panel I hosted for Boy Smiles a couple years back, and then like took me out for a cocktail after. I was like, oh, it was fucking surreal. I was like, you don't understand. Like, you're the reason I do what I do.
They were incredibly gracious when I announced book stuff and they emailed me and they were like, hey, if you need any resources, like I can.
That's what we should be doing.
It was really, really sweet.
Being good fucking people.
Yeah. Agreed. So, Arabelle, come to the show.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. I don't want to tell people not to buy dupes, but like I should have brought up the article they had.
Duping is bad, but I think we're the last people to tell people how to spend their money. One, for obvious reasons, and two, like, why wouldn't you buy a $30 version of Baccarat Rouge, especially if you're getting your career started or in high school or not looking to spend $500 on a bottle of perfume? I get it. Or live in the Midwest and don't, it's not easily accessible.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't even know what Baccarat Rouge is and you live a better life than I do. But because there is a wide swath of people who will smell this and not make any connection at all and just fall in love with this.
Absolutely. It's interesting. Okay, so I just brought up the piece that we were talking about and they mentioned that the big fragrance houses that make a lot of these fragrances that are being duped, they're not suffering by the dupes. It's not really hurting their business. Mm-hmm. But they say, I don't believe in the merit of replication without innovation. They're speaking about us. And if your entire business model is riffing on other people's art, I don't consider that innovation. The idea of creating access is noble, but if it is at the expense of another artist, big or small, you're entering murky waters.
Period.
Yeah. As Yash Han, the independent perfumer behind Scent Trunk and Scent Festival, more bluntly put it in Allure a few months back, dupes are the equivalent of fast fashion. Yeah. Which I think is where the dilemma that we're at in just consumption culture.
Yeah.
Because that's what it comes down to.
Totally. And I do like to tiptoe around this because, again, when we talk, this is maybe a long line to draw, so clock me if I'm being dishonest here, but when we talk about fragrance and all of this, we are talking about class.
And, oh, absolutely.
And access. And mm-hmm. we try to acknowledge it as much as possible to keep ourselves honest and real without beating it into the fucking ground. But it's like, we get all the shit for free. And so it's not a problem that we personally have, but we are real people with budgets. And, you know, I can't go out and buy a $6,000 moto jacket because I don't get everything for free. I'm not Doja Cat, unfortunately. And thank God. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I get the dupery of it all. I understand it because we're all working for someone. Yeah. And I'm not going to co-host a fragrance podcast and not understand wanting to smell good, be it on a budget or not.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know, but it is weird. So it's, if we can't buy dupes, then what do you do? Not that there are, because this also, I think we've talked about some of these dupe conversations, not Arabelle's, but some of these dupe conversations distill fragrance to a binary of luxury and dupe and nothing else. You know what I mean?
Or just luxury and mass. Like the Bath and Body Works of the world.
Yeah.
The Body Splashes of the world.
Right. But it takes away the value from anything that's not a Baccarat or Baccarat adjacent. Yeah. Like, you can go to Bath and Body Works and get an EDP and smell great for just as long. You know, it's, and I think that is, not to being like, bring like respectability politics into fucking fragrance, but as if we don't host a podcast about fragrance, but I would rather do that than riff off someone else's idea for cheap. I don't know. Does that make any goddamn sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the most overused word today is luxury.
I think it's authentic, but yes.
Also, yes. Also that, but like in terms of just marketing.
Yes.
Everything is, they just say everything's luxury. And I'm like, no, it's but not.
You, even if it is, you can't call it luxury because then it's not.
Also that, I mean, like luxury is not a regulated term, obviously. Right.
Like clean beauty.
Exactly. And like when you think of what luxury is, you would think, okay, this is like very fine master craft, very high quality materials. Yeah. But the truth is like, you can't have high quality raw materials at a mass level because the earth is going to you just over harvest and deplete resources.
Well, it's also obviously everything is subjective and something that is a luxury to me is not going to be a luxury to know what I mean? And
but the idea that everyone should have access to luxury is also, I feel like, a slippery slope, because then I'm like, then you're just promoting hyper-consumerism. And it's not, nothing is thoughtfully made if it's made just for as much consumption as possible.
Yes. I guess then I ask the question, like, what is luxury? Because like high quality materials I think high quality and scarcity aren't always the same thing. You can have something that is high quality but affordable because it is not scarce, whether it's like vanilla or something.
Well, that's why we have synthetics
ingredient wise. Yeah, exactly.
But what would be marketed as luxury is, oh, we use these like raw materials from nature, as opposed to the dupes that can ostensibly recreate a very similar experience of that product using synthetic ingredients and then call that luxury. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, it's like semantic satiation. The word doesn't mean anything anymore.
Totally.
You say it so many times.
I mean,
because there's the ethical way of producing things. It's just like, oh, it's not luxury then because it's not the raw material. But then if everybody had access to luxury, there would be no more raw material because you can't. It's just not a sustainable like growth model.
Well, it's also, you know, it's all, you know, plot twist marketing. And if raw material isn't luxury, then something else is, you know what I mean? Like it's, and although like also to the consumer, it's like, when you think about marketing, how often are they talking about the raw material of it all? You know, they could be talking about the amber or the jasmine or whatever. And it's like, those could fucking be synthetics. They just sound expensive.
Right. I feel like when brands do use these like actual natural raw materials, like they do like to talk about it just because they're like, it's so expensive.
Right.
This is really special, you guys. Like Mathieu Premier is the literal name of the brand is raw material. So like that's their whole thing.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yes.
Oh.
Premier materials. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they come to mind because that's their whole thing is they're ethically sourced raw materials. I'm like, okay, cool. But
Mathieu Premier, feel free to fly us to France. Yeah. Well, God, this went from being Frenchy to galaxy brain so quickly.
I know. Things got...
No, it's fine.
This took a turn.
But shop, Findery, and Target now.
They're not dupes, but they're not trying to be, so...
I don't feel like they... When they started, their MO wasn't dupe.
No, absolutely not. Their MO was... luxury fragrances at an affordable price.
God damn it.
Just like, consumers really think I'm looking for luxury in my products? Or are they just thinking I want something that I like and enjoy? Like, why? Who is this for? Who is this luxury platform for?
I think it depends on the consumer. And I think it also depends on the category. Mm. I'm probably spitting out of here, but yeah, I don't know.
Is it like, of all the ways to sell a fragrance, has anyone ever tried just saying, it's really good?
It smells really nice.
Buy it. It's really good. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's so good. We made it so good for you. Is that just, I guess that's not very clever marketing.
I don't know.
Someone should try that and report back. I'd love to know.
You're making a fragrance.
Yeah. That's what I have a different angle because it's a one-off product for a very specific thing and moment in time and will not be, I'm not making a brand. I'm not trying to build a brand here. I'm making a product that I like, I think many other people will like, and it's fun and unique. And it's here until it's not.
Mm-hmm.
The end. Also, I still have to figure out bottle design. How do people make products? It's so hard.
Let's get Arba on the show. They totally come on.
Let's do that. Yeah.
Can you ask? I'm too scared.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. I feel like we're in a phase where we're not as receptive to fragrance industry, conventional fragrance industry guests.
Like yeah. Looking well, for... we've also fucking just talked to all of
them. We just, exactly, that too. I think like,
you know what I mean?
We've talked to so many of them. What else is there?
I do want to talk to Khalees Becker.
Yeah, of course. Obviously.
Khalees, but... girl.
Yeah, girl. Come on. But yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, like Sable said, we're trying to...
We're trying to land more unconventional guests, which is why it's taking us so long, because they're like, what are you? Who are you? Why?
Well, it's also like we are the ones who started this niche ass podcast. So it's like now we like talk to all the big motherfuckers and now it's like, oh, fuck, who's left?
Yeah.
But
yeah, we've been really lucky that we have fairly easy access to beauty industry people. But like outside of beauty industry people, oof, it's a rat race.
Chloe Hall, come on the podcast.
Chloe Hall, come on the podcast. Yeah, we'll see. But until then, you're just going to get us yapping.
You never know. We're recording with the guests on Wednesday.
Yeah, but they don't know that.
Oh, well. I hope the guest does.
Yeah. Viva us yapping. Anyway, you can find us at our website, smellyoulater.live, where you can leave us a voice note, which I hope you do. Please do. You can find our merch, very cozy apparel. What else? You can find us on Instagram at smellyoulater.mp3. I am at Sable Tooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.